especially some of the guys in the locker room talking about how much they learned from the loss to Baltimore. Is there a concern, though, that other teams, this being a copycat league, might say, hey, here's a blueprint on how to beat the Broncos?
I think, you know, anytime you fail to execute or, you know, you don't play as well as you're capable of playing, people are going to look at those things. But Baltimore didn't do anything, you know, eccentric that the first six games, you know, six opponents didn't try to do either. You know, they played hard, they played physical, and they played better than we did. So if that's a blueprint, I think everybody's pretty much following it, try to play better than the other team and you know, end up with more points at the end of the day. But I don't think, you know, I mean, we obviously got things to fix, but I think every team's in the same boat now.
So Ryan Clark's situation, something you're monitoring, does it affect anything in the way you're preparing?
No. I mean, you know, if he plays, obviously, we're aware of what he can do. And if he doesn't, then, you know, there's been games, certainly this year, Polamalu's been out, and the other safeties have played in there too well. So, you know, it's just something that we'll have to see how that goes, you know, what they determine they want to do there, and then we'll play the game accordingly. But it won't change a whole lot.
If you were in that position, would you make it the player's choice, or would you step in and oversee what he's thinking?
I think, I mean, I'm it's hard for me to say, but I mean, I think all the medical information that you're getting and you know, the things that could come from it, I think you got to be careful. You know, as a coach, you always want to try to protect your players from having anything serious happen to them. So if there's anybody, you know, I'm sure they have medical professionals that are advising them on this. It's not really a coaching decision. It's more of a what's best for the player's health long term and all that. So it'd be tough to say. You think you try to take all the information and weigh it. You certainly don't want to jeopardize the player's future.
You're looking at dividing up carries for a running back.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is game plan, down the distance, who has the high end, what factors go?
Really, none of that. Really. We just, you know, all the backs work in practice, get the looks that that we want to show them, carry different play, you know, run different plays. And we just, you know, we kind of, after a series or so, we put the next guy in. Sometimes during a long series, they sub each other out, and they usually do most of that on their own. There's certain things usually in a game plan where we may want one guy in or another guy in, but I wouldn't say that list is very long, you know. So we just kind of let them play, and we feel good about our backs. That's the number one thing is no matter who's in the game, we feel like they're capable people and they're going to execute and play well.
Can you exploit if Travis ends up not playing and obviously having to use...
Say it one more time.
If Travis has to play and or doesn't play and have to use Nick more, and then obviously if they slide in, Floyd and Harris more, the rookies there, can you exploit that?
This is a really good defense. You know what I mean? It's not like a one, you know, one guy really makes the whole thing go. I mean, they know the defense so well that they're rarely out of position. All of them play very, very much the same style. They're all going to hit you, and they're all physical. They're very sound. They don't give up many big plays. So it's not like if one person doesn't play in the game, all of a sudden now we've got a bullseye on that guy's back. Because they're so sound everywhere else. And I'm sure that the next guy that steps in is going to be prepared and ready to play. You know, they've always had a way to, you know, get the next guy in, and all of a sudden you don't seem like you're missing anybody. You know, Polamalu's been out for a number of games this year, and, you know, Carter played well and did a lot of good things. So, you know, it's a very well-coached team. They'll be prepared. Whoever plays, you know, on that defense is going to play well.
But just even from the standpoint of Hood having practice on the left side the whole time
and
maybe having to slide into the right.
You know, I mean, obviously when we run the ball or when we pass protect, you know, if we see something, we're going to try to do both. So if we run the ball and we feel like we're gaining more yards going one way than the other, hopefully we'll try to continue to do that. But, you know, I think you go into the game plan, you try to run the things that give you the best chance to win, and if that means that you're trying to exploit a matchup, then certainly we're going to try to do that.
And he does like exploiting matchups. I mean, they're obviously one of the best run defenses, you know, in recent history in the NFL. Do you agree with the approach of still trying to establish a run to be...
Yeah, I think one of the big reasons why I think, you know, they're number one in fewest runs against them you know. So what happens, what that means to me is that they make everybody stop running the ball, you know, eventually, whether the score gets out of hand, you know, and the opposition feels obligated to throw it every play. You know, I think it's like 19 runs a game they have to defend, you know, so far. So I think it's, one, commitment to it, two, finding some things at work and being successful doing it. I mean, certainly you're not going to win the game, you know, running the ball for 1 yard a carry or anything like that. So we're going to try to stay balanced and do everything that we normally do, but we got to be successful doing it.
Josh, before you got here, Kenny Peterson had only started one game with Broncos. What is it about him that you saw this?
I mean,
obviously turned out to be
quite a player this year. Well, Kenny. You know, and some of the players in our front, I mean, they haven't necessarily played in a 3-4 system before. And Kenny is a, you know, I know that last year they were lined up in a few things that you know, kind of were 3-4 and all the rest of it. But I think that his body type, you know, he's got long arms, he's 6'4", 305 pounds. He's kind of a prototypical in terms of his size for a defensive end in the 34 system. So it's really one of the first opportunities Kenny has had to play in that system. So we felt like he might be a match for that. We liked the style of play that he had. And, you know, I think he's only gotten better, and it's a credit to Coach Nunnally, you know, to teach all those guys who really hadn't played a whole lot in that system, you know, the techniques that we use and all those things that are very important in playing run defense and pass defense. So just a good fit for us. I think we didn't really have an opportunity to see him play in the system before.
Is it hard for you to separate this relationship you had? Is it hard to separate the friendship from
him? No. It's very easy. No, he understands that we're here to do one thing, and that's win. And if there's anything I can do to help, I'm gonna. If there's anything I need to do to motivate them, I'm gonna try to do it. And, you know, when they deserve to get rewarded, they get rewarded. So.
Can a guy like Elvis Dumervil facing him in practice every day, can it help you with a guy like James Harrison?
I think, we ask you know, both sides to give us a look, you know, whenever we play teams that share a similar style that we play, or a similar front, you know, if you will. So we've had a lot of guys during the course of these first six games give us a great look at specific players that we felt like we needed to really get somebody ready to play. So whether it be Elvis or Jarvis Moss has been the look team player of the week, I think, four or five times out of six games. So he's done an incredible job of giving us a great look at whomever that may be coming off the edge or running down on a kickoff team or what have you. So we try to get the best look that we can from the players that are available to give us that look, and sometimes that includes the starters.
Josh, I know we've asked you this a lot, but fans continue to be curious. Eddie Royal, his numbers were down. Is there something you're seeing on film that he's just not open? Or?
No. I'm not going to – I mean, I sit up here and say that same thing every week. That the ball goes to the guy that's open, and you know, or at least that's what we're trying to do. And it's not always their fault. Sometimes coverages dictate that we go somewhere else, you know, like the San Diego game. I mean, Scheffler has 100 and some yards receiving, and that was just because of the way they played us. So we're not worried about that. We'll continue to try to get everybody better and get everybody involved in the offense and put them in position to make plays, but we're not going to beat our head into a wall trying to do it.
So the New England game, I mean, which was kind of an aberration for him, was that just him facing a certain coverage that you guys can exploit?
It was a lot of things. I mean, Eddie is a very good player, obviously, you know, but we have more than one of those on offense, you know, and, you know, as long as we're trying to move the ball the right way and not turning it over and taking care of it, then we're going to, you know, keep spreading it around and trying to give it to who deserves to have it based on what they're doing against us. And in New England game, you know, they dictated that we throw over there a bunch, and it helped us win.
What are your thoughts about Hines Ward and whether he's a dirty player?
I've never thought he was a dirty player. I mean, I've always admired the way he plays. You know, people that I think complain about that are you know, sometimes on the other end of a big hit, you know, and he's put a lot of them on people. And we have players on our team that some people may say are dirty, I don't know. But, you know, he plays hard. He plays every snap, you know, like it matters. He blocks. He's unselfish. He catches the ball. He runs good routes. He's hard to tackle. So, I mean, I don't know what there's not to like about a guy that does all those things. And I think he cares more about winning than anything else, you know, statistically or any of those kind of things. And he's having one of the best years of his career, you know, and he's, you know, 30-some years old. So, I admire him. I've always admired him and the way he plays.
You work for Bill. Where do you think LeBeau fits in the whole history of the 3-4?
I mean, I've had an opportunity to coach against this defense for, you know, I don't know how many times it is now, but it's a number of them. And, you know, he's done some things with his defense that you don't see from everybody else. You know, some of the different schemes that he uses, some of the pressures that he has, some of the looks that he uses. One of the things that he does that you could say interests me or bothers me the most, it doesn't have anything to do with the 3-4. You know, it's what he does with his sub packages. And I don't know that many people talk about those things, but that's where you get some of the craziest looks and some of the most difficult things to prepare for. So not only is he, a guy that invents things and is creative with his 3-4 package, but he also does a great job with, you know, his nickel group, of using linebackers in different spots and moving them all over the place. So you got to find them, and it becomes a really difficult part of the game once it gets to third down or passing situation. So one of the most difficult coordinators to play against every year, and it doesn't seem like the defense has changed very much over the years. It just keeps getting better at what they're doing, you know, and that's what frustrates you, because you look at it and you say, well, it's not any different than it was 2 years ago. Well, why can't we do this and why can't we do that? It's because they got good players, they're very well coached, and he's responsible for that.
Josh, you talked about limiting explosive plays against Baltimore. Do you think you guys need to have more explosive plays, more stuff down
there? I'd love to. We'd love to, you know, and we've done that, we've done that this year at times, and then there's been other times where we didn't, you know. I think everybody's frustrated that we didn't play very well last week, and, you know, we want to try to do our job and execute better, and if we do that, then I'm sure those explosive plays will come.